to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight we are studying Parashat Vayigash. While last week we focused on the Haftarah, this week we can go back and focus on the Parashah. Of course, all these Parashiyot are connected. We need to go back to the end of Parashat Miketz. We didn't talk about it last week, so we need to set the stage for the incredible events that are to take place in Parashat Vayigash, our Parashah. So let's go back to Perek Mem Dalet. Vaitzav et Asher al Beto Lemor. So Yosef HaSadik tells the members of his home, Rashi tells us Menashe, his son, Malle et Amtechot Anashim Ochel, Kasher Yuchlun Se'et. Fill up the bundles of the tribes. Fill it up with food. Vesim kesef ish kefi befi amtahto, put their money back in their sacks. Ve'ed givi'i givi'a kesef tasim befi amtahat katon. And take my goblet, the givi'a, the silver goblet, and put it in the satchel of the katana, Binyamin. Vayas kedvar Yosef asher diber. So he does it. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh is questioning what's the objective of Yosef to put the gaviyah in one of the satchels. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, Sarich lada'at ta'am Yosef be'inyanim elu. Ve'im letza'aram, if it was just to cause them tza'ar, just to cause them another measure of agony. Halom ma'asav mochichim ki gamar b'libo ha'shalom. He showed already that he had peace with them. Right before this, it says he had a seudah with them. He ate, he drank. It says he got drunk with them. He gave them a full course meal. He gave them gifts. Now all of a sudden, he changes his opinion against the brothers. What was the objective? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, the Gevi'i situation, the Gevi'a situation has three objectives. He says, "Ve'ulai ki nitkaven l'shlosha devarim ha'echad kedei sheyichupar lahen avon ha'geneva sheganavuhu ha'yaoseh lahem devrei hashad kedei sheyeh haboshet al min ha'avon atzmo shel Yosef v'yichupar avonam." This is a theory that not only the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, but the Sfarad HaMor brings it down as well, that whatever Yosef was doing was not, God forbid, vengeful. The Zohar HaKadosh points that out in Parashat Miketz. Yosef is not a person of nekama. He's not trying to even the score or settle any accounts. But Yosef knows that the brothers needed tikkun. They did steal him. This was kidnapping. It was robbery. So Yosef is only concerned for the spiritual well-being of the brothers. And therefore, as a result of it, he wants them to feel, what does it mean to be convicted of a thief? So therefore, when he puts the gaviyah in their satchel, so now already they have a busha of a sin that they themselves committed. Yosef will tell them, hey, you thieves, you stole my gaviyah. This is a sin that they committed against Yosef. It's almost as if that this will be your tikkun. Let yourself get embarrassed from a sin that you committed yourself, and that will atone. V'chupar avonam. It's unbelievable that Yosef has the interest of the brothers. If you look even earlier in the story, when Yosef HaSadiq took Shimon and he throws him in prison, it says he put him in the prison in Egypt. You know, the prisons were in the Bor. Like when they took Yosef out of the prison, it says Vayditzuhu min Abor. So it means that was a pit. And why did he put Shimon in the pit? It's because it was Shimon that threw Yosef in the pit. Vayomeru ish el achiv. Ish el achiv is Shimon talking to Levi. Aval ashimim anachnu. We're guilty what we did to our brother. Shimon instigated it. Shimon was the one that threw him into the boar. So Yosef wants to throw Shimon into the boar, not because he wants to take revenge against Shimon. That's your tikkun. And everything that he was doing to the brothers was to settle it for them. Or HaChaim HaKadosh says a second answer. Vasheni, lirot im yitinun nafsham al binyamin. Oh, he wanted to create a similar scenario again, where one of the brothers is going to be in peril. Last time one of the brothers was in peril, they left him. They left him in the bor. And then they sold him. Now let's see if they made a tikkun themselves from that. Now this brother Binyamin is in trouble. Now let's see what they're going to do. V'asheni l'ra'otim yitnu nafsham al Binyamin. And then he'll know already that they made the tikkun for themselves. And the third reason he says is v'ashelishi l'rmoz lahem inyan ha'geneva ulay yathilu l'hargish ki sham mi shemakir ma'asehem b'bayit halaz. Which means he wanted to allude to them, I know what you did. You can't hide the crime that you committed. Just like when he sat them down, he knew exactly where each one sits. So he was trying to give them subtle hints that I know you committed a certain avon. And therefore he says, ulai, maybe yathilu lahargish, kisham misha makir ma'asim babay talaz, that somebody knows exactly the story and maybe they'll start to make teshuvah. So that was the story of the gaviyah. So we continue. What happens? Abokir or v'anashim shulichu hema v'hamoreihem. They leave the city, and all of a sudden, Lord Hiku, they're not far away. Yosef tells Menashe, "Kum redof, go after them. Go after them. Go catch them." V'amarta alehem, and go tell the brothers, "Lama shilantem ra'ata hatova? Why are you ingrates? I think I saw." Wrote down from one of the Baalei Musar, maybe the Saba from Kelim. He says, he didn't tell him, why did you steal? He told him something that's worse than stealing. Why are you an ingrate? Shilamtem ra'ata ha'tova. I gave you food. I took care of you. I settled your accounts for you. And now you come along and you steal from me? Shilamtem ra'ata ha'tova is worse than geneva. Halozeh asher yishte aduni bo. This is his gaviyah. He drinks from it. Hare'otem asher asitem. Says the Or HaHaim HaKadosh, what did the Menashe mean when he told them, Hare'otem asher asitem? What you did was terrible. What do you mean? He said already, Lama shilamtem ra'ata hatova. This is his gaviya. What does he have to repeat again? Hare'otem asher asitem. So if you remember the Shevatim, Rashi brings down, they made a kal vachomer. You remember when they came and they defended themselves? They said, "Listen, we're stealing. En kesef asher matzanu b'fiyam techotenu heshevonu elecha meres Mitzrayim. The money that we found in our satchels, we returned it on our own right. You didn't catch us on that. We came back and returned the money. Now we're going to go and steal something. We proved our honesty already." And she says that this is one of the 10 kal vachomers in the Torah. They came along and said, if we returned the money that we found in our satchels, we returned it. You didn't ask us, you didn't catch us, we came on our own volition. Now we're going to go and steal. Says the Or HaHaim HaKadosh, Menashe anticipated that claim. You know, sometimes before a person makes the big kill in the stealing, he shows his honesty in other things, in smaller things, so he'll gain some, validity. So when he steals the big item, he says, "You think it was me? Look." So the first time the guy, he sees a $5 bill on the floor, he's allowed to keep it. B'shut Rabim. He says, "You know what, let me go search." I said, "Did you lose this money? Why, you're such a Sadiq, you know that? You could have kept it, I'll give it to you back." But he's setting it up when he's going to steal the guy's credit card. And the guy will never suspect it because he returned $5. So therefore, Or HaHaim HaKadosh says, that's what the brothers meant when they said, Hare'otem asher asitem. Which means, asher asitem, that what you did to return the money was to set yourself up for the Hare'otem. Hare'otem asher asitem. You only did that gesture of honesty is so you could steal the gaviyah. So don't, he anticipated the kal vachomer. No, don't tell me kal vachomer is. Or HaHaim HaKadosh's lashon is, asher asitem perush bahashavat hakesef ki be'emsa'ut davar zeh גילו עדתכם, כי מה שהזירו הכסף, that which you return the money, אדרבה, זה מהרשע. That's from the crime itself. להזיק אותם באנשים בעלי אמונה. You want to establish yourself as honest people. שבאמצעות זה יאמינו, so you'll have some trust. וימצאו מקום לגנוב דברים יקרים וחשובים. And then you'll be able to steal דברים יקרים וחשובים, like the גביה. So that's how the parasha ends. Yosef says, listen, we're going to look into whose satchel we find. And they start to look, and sure enough, they find it in Binyamin's. וימצא הגביה במטעת בנימין. ויקרעו סמלותם. And they ripped their garments. This was a terrible tragedy for them. The worst thing that could have happened was that Binyamin gets caught for some crime, and now they're going to have to figure out how to weigh. They bring Binyamin back home to their father that they promised. ויקרעו סמלותם, the Gemara says that Menashe caused the brothers to rip their clothes. And God punished Menashe for that. The tribe of Menashe would become ripped and split in half. If you remember when they went into Eretz Yisrael, half the tribe of Menashe would be in Eretz Yisrael, the other half would be in Eivere Yerden. To Midah Keneged Midah. He caused them to rend their clothes. ויקרעו, he became נקרע. ויבוא יהודה ואחד ביתה יוסף. So Yehuda and the brothers, they come to Beta Yosef, to Yosef's house, the palace. Ru'odenu sham. Ve'yipilu lefana ve'yom elahem Yosef. Ma ma'aseh azeh? What's going on? Asher asitem. Ve'yom el Yehuda man nomar ladoni man edaber man estadak. We're guilty. Ha'eluhim matzat avon abadecha. Hinenu avadim ladoni. We're willing to be slaves. All of us, גם אנחנו, גם אשר נמצא גביה בידו. We'll all be your slaves. ויאמר חלילה לי מעשות זאת. I want to do such a thing, I'm a fair man. האיש אשר נמצא גביה בידו, הוא יהיה לי עבד. Just give me the guilty one. You're not guilty, you didn't steal anything. This young fellow, בנימין, הוא יהיה לי עבד. ואתם עלו לשלום אל אביכם. You can go home in peace. That's how we ended last week's parasha. The big question over here is, Parashat Vayigash begins, Vayigash elav Yehuda, Yehuda comes to Yosef, Vayomer bi Adoni yedabena abdecha davar beozne Adoni. The Mefarshim are all questioning over here, what happened all of a sudden that Yehuda has to speak to Yosef? Everything was known already from the last parasha. All the facts that we have are in front of us. Yosef knows exactly who stole the gavia. An offer was made for them to be slaves. He refused the offer. And he said, just keep me Binyamin. All of a sudden, Vayigash elav Yehuda. It sounds like some new information came to Yehuda. And now he says, oh, I got to speak to you. The Ramban over here, actually, he says, לא ידעתי טעם לאריכות דברי יהודה בסיפור מה שהיה כבר ביניהם. Yeah, which means he starts to say, ידבנה עבדך דבר באוזני אדוני, אל יחרפי, don't get angry. אדוני שאל את עבדיו למור, yes, היש לכם אבו אח, do we have a brother, do we have a father? ואני אומר לאדוני, יש לנו אב זקן. What is this whole conversation? ואת אומר לעבדיך, הורידו אליי. He said, bring your younger brother down. Vasimayni alav. Vanomer ladoni lo yuchal. Repeating the whole story, the Ramban doesn't know what the benefit of this is. Lo yadarti tam la'arichut devre Yehuda b'sipur ma shehaya kevar b'nehem. Uma shamru rabotenu. The Midrash comes along and says that Yehuda's claim to Yosef was that you said you're going to take care of my brother. I'm going to put my eye on him. I'm going to watch him. And Yehuda comes along and tells Yosef, is this how you're going to watch him? You're putting him in jail? You're making him a slave? The Ramban doesn't accept that. The Ramban says, V'chizuhi simat ayin shamati lasum ena ta'ana. Ki ha-moshel shi'yitzaber la'vi adam lefanav lo ya'aseh al-manat leftor otu min ha-ra'ot shi'aseh. If a person is invited by the government to be a visitor to the country, does that mean he can commit crimes? Of course not. He says, I'm going to take care of him. I'll take him for lunch. We'll get him a driver. We'll put him in a nice hotel. We'll give him all the luxuries that the country has to offer. But that doesn't mean that if he kills somebody, we're going to say, oh, listen, you're our guest. Do whatever you want. So therefore, he's a thief. So therefore, that cannot be Yehuda's claim that, oh, you call that Vasima Ini Allah. That's what you call taking care of my brother, putting him as a slave. Yosef could tell him what he means. I invited him to be a normal guest, not a criminal. Especially if he stole from the palace. Certainly he was not invited under those terms of clemency. And not only that, he was good to Binyamin, by the way. He sat down with him in a Sa'uda. He gave him gifts, 5 times more gifts than everybody else. So the Rambam wants to know what was he doing over here? So there's different opinions exactly how to understand Yehuda's approach to Yehuda, or to Yosef. Some explain, I throw this in the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh said that by this point the brothers already suspected that this is happening to them because of Mechirat Yosef. You know, they made introspection, they're trying to figure out why is this happening, and they came to the conclusion, this is an onish. They said, okay, listen, we have to accept the onish. This is what God wants, we have no problem. At the end of last week's parasha, Yosef says, you could all go home. I just want Binyamin. At that point, Yehuda comes to the conclusion, this cannot be for Mechirat Yosef, because Binyamin was the only one that had nothing to do with Mechirat Yosef. Now we have to make a conversation. Now we have to make a discussion here. We were willing to accept us all be slaves. But once already we see the Hashkaha is saying that only Binyamin has to be the slave. So therefore that's not for Mechirat Yosef. Another explanation I saw, brought down in Sefarim. The brothers all knew the prophecy that their grandfather received. Avraham Avinu received the prophecy that God told them that there's going to come a time that your descendants are going to be in a foreign land, va'abadum, and they're going to be avadim. At this point, the brothers thought that the Brit bin Abitarim prophecy was starting to come true. When Yosef already said, okay, one of you has to be an avid. So at this point, they said, oh, this is a starting of it, this is a foreign land, va'abadum, ve'inu otam. So they came along and they said, if this is Brit bin Abitarim, we all accept to be avadim. When Yosef came along and said, no. We don't want everybody to become avadim, just Yosef, just Binyamin. At that point, they realized that this has nothing to do with Binyamin and Betarim anymore. And therefore, they came along and said, oh, now he's playing games with us. Now it's not something that's obvious. The Ramban himself, on this question, he says, Ve'al derech ha-pshat, she'en amrak tahanunim. Leha'ir rahamav. Interesting. Yehuda knew that Binyamin was guilty. Nothing new was being said over here. He's just rehashing the story. You asked us a question. We answered your question. Nothing changed here. But Yehuda felt if he could strike a chord of mercy, maybe Yosef will change his mind. And so he's going to make now the derasha of his life. This is a diplomacy speech that if he has the right words and he's able to somehow hit the emotion of Yosef, he'll succeed. Ki hashav Yehuda ki ha'elohim hu yareh. Yosef kept on telling him, I'm a God-fearing person. Et ha'elohim ani yareh. So he said, if he's a God-fearing person, maybe, you know, if I soften him up a little, take a shot, don't lose anything, it's only words. V'cha'ashen nahagim em chemla ki yirechet lenachem otam al atzah sha'asalem. Before, he was nice to them, Yosef. So therefore, he said, maybe as Yirat Shamay, maybe I could influence him. So the pasuk comes along and says, "Vayigash elav Yehuda, vayigash elav." He came to him. Or the Haim Hakadosh asked, "What do you mean he came to him?" They were in the palace. They were all in the palace together. We just read at the end of last week's parasha. Vayavo Yehuda vehav bete Yosef. So they're standing in front of Yosef already. So what does it mean, Vayigash Elav Yehuda? He was there, Vayigash is there. They were in the bayit of Yosef. Nobody moved. It's a new parasha, but they're in the same location. Why does it say Vayigash Elav Yehuda? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh comes along and says a very interesting thing. He says, the minhag of the kings in those days, you could not talk face to face to the king. The king would have layers of security around him, circles. So you'd have a few circles around, and the fellow that wants to talk to the king, you're ready, he's on the outside. And there was no way you can get close to the king. All of a sudden, at this point over here, Yehuda wants to get to the king himself and talk to him privately. So it says he broke through the circles, but Yigash Elav Yehuda. Not that he had to leave the palace, they were in the palace. But he went directly towards him. With what Agamemnon says, V'chila p'nei ha-melech shi'itraseh lo ledaber b'yehud. V'yigash elav. He begged Yosef, please, I need to talk to you privately. I need to talk to you face to face. V'hu omer bi adoni. Please forgive me. Because it's not the derech for a simple man, an eved, to talk to a king face to face. Bi adoni. You have to forgive me. V'ali harapecha. Don't get angry. So he comes along and he says, because what he's going to tell him is going to get him angry. And therefore he's asking him from before, don't get angry. Why? He says, because he's going to tell the king in his ear, Yedabena davar beozne adoni, he's going to whisper in his ear, you're a faker, you're wrong. And the king is going to be proven wrong. And the rule in the old countries was that anybody that proves the king wrong, even though he's right, they kill him. So therefore, he didn't want any of the other people to hear what he's going to say. He figured if he tells Yosef that he's wrong, and Yosef is a God-fearing person, at least one-to-one, Yosef will say, okay, inechanam, you got me. What did he tell him? So there's different opinions of what Yehuda whispered in his ear. One opinion is he told him like this. Look at the Pesukim. The Pesukim say, Adoni sha'al et abadav lemor. You asked us, Hayesh lachem ab o ach? Do you have a father? Do you have a brother? And what did we answer when you asked that question? Vanomer l'adoni, yeah, yesh lanu av zaken. We have an old father. V'yelet zekudim katanum, we have a young brother. Says Yehuda, you're calling us miraglim. You're calling us spies. You know the rules in spies, spy 101, you never offer information. Nothing. No matter what they ask you, you don't know. You don't offer identification. You don't tell them where you came from. You don't tell them about your family. The spy wants to be incognito. Any information that the spy slips, they use against them. So therefore, he says, you're calling us spies. Listen to the way we read the pasuk. Adoni sha'alit abadav lemor, hayesh lachem avo'ah. You could read that pasuk as a statement, but you could also read this pasuk as a question. Adoni sha'alit abadav lemor, hayesh lachem avo'ah. Did you ever ask us if we had a brother? If you look at the pasukim, Yosef never asks if they had a brother. We told you that information, which means read the pasuk. Adoni sha'alet abadav lemor yesh lachem avu ach. Did you ask us? We offered you the information. What kind of spies are we? If we're looking to hide stuff from you, why would we offer you information that we have a brother? By the way, even Yaakov Abinu, if you remember, when he found out that they have to bring back Binyamin. But what was Yaakov's reaction? Yaakov's reaction was, right, exactly. He tells him, "Vayomer Yisrael, lama hareotim li lehagid laish haod lechem ach." What are you doing? What are you telling him for? Wait, did he ask you? No, he didn't ask. What are you telling him for? So that's what Yehuda is telling Yosef. Adoni sha'al El Abadab the Mora, yesh lechem avo ach. Did you ask us that question? You didn't ask. But no, man, we gave it to our own. So then, how can you say we're meragelim? Another explanation I saw is Yosef obviously was saying that this gavia that he has is a very, very, very precious gavia. After all, he showed its powers when he banged on it and he sat them all according to their age order. And this was the gavia that he uses for all his magic tricks. So Yehuda wants to show Yosef, you're a faker. You're a liar. The gavia is nothing. It's not a magic trick. It doesn't have any powers. I don't know how you know anything. Could be you have another power, but it's not the gavia. What's his proof? He says, Adoni Sha'al, you asked us, wherever he asked us, Hayesh lachem avo'ah. Why don't you take your gavia and do some researching on the gavia? V'nomer el Adoni, we had to answer you the question, Yeshlanu. So therefore, you don't have any powers over there. The gavia is not worth anything over here. So now you come along and you say, oh, you stole the gavia. This is the item that we use to know the future and all that. Adoni Sha'al. The fact that you had to ask us a question, why do you have to ask us any questions? The Midrash comes along and says that Yosef was telling them all the information that was going on in their home. In a way, he knew everything. He was giving them all different hints that he knows everything. So why did you have to ask us? So Yehuda caught Yosef in a, you know, in a, he tripped him up. Today I heard one of the Rabbi Rosenblum said a cute story. It's worth repeating. He said there was one time a kumar, a priest, and he came along and he said that the advisor of the king, who was a Jew, stole some money from the king. The king was missing money, and of course the priest blames the Jewish advisor. So the Jewish advisor is confronted to the king. He says, listen, I didn't steal the money, but I have a way to figure out exactly who stole the money. He says, I have a special lie detector in my house, and we'll bring all the king's men, and they'll take the lie detector, and we'll see exactly. He says, okay. The Jew takes a chicken, and he takes shoe polish, and he paints the chicken black. Now he brings this chicken into the palace, black chicken. I never saw a chicken like this before. The king says, what is this? This is the lie detector. It's okay, well, how does it work? He says, each guy comes along, and we ask you, did you steal the money? And he says, no. He bangs the chicken's head. If the chicken makes a noise, then already, that means he's lying. Okay, we never saw such a machine like this. How does it work? It works. So they bring the treasurer first. Okay, did you steal any money from the king? No. Okay, hit the chicken's head. He hits the chicken's head. Silent. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Next guy, the secretary, bangs the chicken's head. Nothing. The guy bangs the chicken's head. Nothing. Each guy, 10 guys bang. Then the rabbi says, the Jew says, well, the priest also is here. The priest also has to. So the priest says, of course, I'll do it also. He bangs the chicken's head. Nothing. So the king says, nobody over here stole. The Jew says, wait, we're not done yet. Now everybody lift their hands up. I want to see your hands. You see this black from the shoe polish on everybody's hands. The priest's hand is still clean. That means he never touched it. He never touched it because there's the thief over there. He knew that he's the guy. You see, how do you like this lie detector? You see that? The lie detector works like a charm. The ganav didn't want to touch the head. You know, he didn't want it to scream. So his hands are clean. So the rabbi said, yeah, Yosef comes along and says, oh, the gavia. Now you're making a big fuss. The gavia, it's a 99-cent item. Obviously, it doesn't have any powers. For this, you're going to take a brother into jail for stealing a 99-cent item, a thing that doesn't have any powers. After all, Adoni Sha'al, you asked us the questions over here. So it's a ruse. So don't make it. Don't make such an excuse over here. However, according to the depth, which Yehuda over here was telling Yosef, as the Ramban said, "Diber elav rak tahanunim." He wasn't trying to trip him up. He wasn't trying to say that he's a faker. He wasn't trying to prove their innocence. He was speaking to him words that can arouse an emotion. What did he say? He says, Yosef, at the end of last week's parasha, you tell us very casually, "Hu yehi li'avet, this Binyamin will be my slave, ve'atem alu l'shalom el avichem. And you can go home in peace. Go, oh, what are you worried about? Leave your brother here, ve'atem alu l'shalom. So the Hazal come along and say, Yehuda comes along and tells Yosef, Yosef, you don't know about our family. For you to come along and think that this guy's going to be a slave, ve'atem alu l'shalom, and we're just going to go home like nothing happened, let me give you a history of our family. So he goes along and he says, we had a father. And our father, Yaakov Abinu, alav shalom, was a big tzaddik. He didn't get married until he was an old man, 84 years old. He went and worked for 7 years to get his wife. And then he had many children. And after he buried all his children, he started to travel. Left his father's home. And the second he started to travel on the road, what happened? He lost his wife. He lost his favorite wife, Rachel. Rachel, the mother of this child over here. You see this child over Binyamin? This Binyamin that you're calling a ganav? This Binyamin that you're calling a criminal, a felon? He's a yatom. He doesn't have a mother. His mother died as he was being born. He remained alone. The imo'ul abiv ahevor. To his mother, meaning his stepmother, Bilha, and to his father. Who's his father? Yaakov Abinu now had to raise a baby. He never saw his mother, this baby. On a yatom, you're coming along and saying that he's a criminal and stealing over there. What a difficult life he had. Furthermore, you know my father? My father doesn't have too much good luck when it comes to traveling. He lost his wife on the road. And then, one day he told his son Yosef to go on the road and to go see the brothers. And the second he left the house, you know what happened to his son Yosef? He also died on the road. He says, you know how afraid my father is of traveling on the road? You know what type of phobia he has? He says, already he lost his wife on the road and he lost his son Yosef on the road. You know what it was for Yaakov to send Binyamin on the road? In Yaakov's mind, it's a death sentence. And he said it in no less words. When he said, Ukhla'u Ason, he said, there's going to be an Ason over here. Yaakov even said it. He said, there's going to be a tragedy on the road. And this Binyamin, he came to Egypt knowing the track record of what happens when this family travels on the road. His mother died on the road and his brother died on the road. And he came anyway. B'misirut Nefesh. He came with great sacrifice. Why? Because he loves his father. Because you said that if we don't bring him down, you're not giving us any more food. And he didn't want the family to die of starvation. So he was willing to die for his father. And you could have come along and say that this is a ganav. Not only that, but Yosef, Mr. King of Egypt, there's something you don't know. He says, do you know this Binyamin over here? You know what he did after he lost his only brother, his only full brother? You know, normally, lo alenu v'lo alechem, if anybody loses somebody in the family, bala tashbi, lo alenu v'lo alechem, so they like to name a child or a grandchild after the deceased, after the one that's... And a lot of times, they'll put it as a second name. You know, if his name was Yosef, let's call him Abraham Yosef. And what's the second name, Yosef? Oh, we had an uncle, he passed away many years ago. We called him Abraham Yosef. Oh, that's very nice. In the case of Binyamin, we read in this week's parasha, Binyamin had 10 children. Ubnei Binyamin, Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Varosh, Mupim, Hupim va'ard. If you look at the Gemara in Sota, the Gemara Sota says, V'chulam nikraim al shemo. All the 10 sons of Binyamin were named after Yosef. How? U'bnei Binyamin Bela. Bela, shenibla bin ha'umot. He got swallowed amongst the nations. Becher, bechor le'imo. He was the firstborn. Ashbel sheshevao el, he was taken into captivity. Gera shegar ba'achsanyot, he had to live in hostels. Naaman shenaim biyoter, he was very pleasant. Achiv arosh, achihu, my brother, v'roshihu, he's my head. Mupim v'chupim, hu lo ra'a b'chupati, v'ani lo ra'iti b'chupato. He didn't come to my wedding and I wasn't going to take him to his wedding. Va'ard, sheyarad lebenu mot ha'olam. Every child that he had, what a tzaddik my brother, this guy Binyamin is, to memorialize how to convince his wife, 10 sons and each one is connected Yosef. Such a sensitive man, Binyamin. And this guy's going to say, this is the one that you're saying he stole the Gaviyah. This is the one you're going to say that did such a thing. It's not only that. Not only that. But you know what respect our family has for Binyamin? You know the respect that we have for this Sadiq called Binyamin? He says, my brother Reuven, when my father was hesitating to bring him down to Egypt, he didn't want to let him go. You know what my brother Reuven, he's here. Reuven, you know what he told my father? Echene banai amit. You could kill my 2 sons if I don't bring them back. Which brother puts his children in front of his sibling? Now, could you imagine Yosef is hearing this? His emotion getting out of his own. Look how much the brothers love him. Take my 2 sons if I don't bring them back. And then he tells them, and my father didn't accept it. That wasn't considered enough for my father. And then I stepped forward and I said, Anochi Arvenu. I said, I will guarantee it. And do you know, we Jews believe in eternity. We believe in Olam Haba. And to us, that's the eternal life. And that's the whole purpose why we come to this world, to get to the eternal life. And you know that I offered my eternity for the sake of this brother, the Tzaddik Binyamin over here. And you're coming along and saying, you're coming along and saying that he's a thief. Look how much. But then he comes and tells him. But the reason why we know that this doesn't make any sense to us, and we know that something's wrong, and we know that you're just looking to make trouble for us, because with all this, Binyamin went. Binyamin went in order to do a mitzvah for the family, because he knew that you said to come down, and if you don't bring the brother down, Shimon's not going to be let out of jail. So he went on the Pinyon Shivuim mission. He went to save his brother from jail. He went to get food for his father in Egypt, down in Canaan. And we have a rule, Yosef. Shiluhei mitzvah enam nizukin. That when somebody's doing such a mitzvah, our belief is no bad can come out of it. That when you're doing something good, nothing bad can come out of it. And therefore, it can't be. The man is a Sadiq Binyamin. He's doing kibud av. He's respecting his father. And now you come along and say that he's a ganav. They start to teach Yosef the laws of shiluchei mitzvah enam nizukin. He's involved in kibud av. At that point over there, the Torah comes along and says, Vayomer ve'lo yachol Yosef. At that point over there, Yosef wasn't able to control himself. He couldn't restrain himself. Ve'lo yachol Yosef letapek. He couldn't be metapek. He couldn't restrain himself. What happened? When he heard that last claim, he said, you're coming and saying, Shiluhei mitzvah enam nizukin. He was doing a mitzvah, so nothing bad can happen. He turns to the brother and says, Ani Yosef! I am Yosef, that Yosef that my father told me to go see how you're doing. I was also involved in kibud av. I also was involved in the shaliach mitzvah. How would that be high? Was my father not alive? Was that not my father that told me to do it? Was I not involved? You tell me shaliach mitzvah. And look what happened. I went down to find you and I couldn't find you, brothers. And then when I finally caught up with you, what'd you do to me? As I was doing kibud av, you threw me into a pit with snakes and scorpions, and then you saw me 4 times. Where's the shiluchei mitzvah enam nizukin? Whoa. They thought they got Yosef. Yosef, by the way, came back. Ah, shiluchei mitzvah? Don't tell me about shiluchei mitzvah. I was a shaliach mitzvah also. Whatever you're saying about Binyamin's kibud av, I was there before Binyamin. I also did kibud av. And look what you did to me. But at that point, Yosef immediately changes the gears. The brothers thought they're going to kill him. The brothers would finish. They're going to kill him. And then he comes along and he says, "Ve'lo yachol yasuf letapek." And he comes along and he tells him, ויאמר יוסף, גישו נא אליי, קם קלוס. אני יוסף אחיכם אשר מחתם אותי מצרים, העם די יוסף תייסות את מצרים. ואתה אוהב אל תעצבו. לא בי אפסד, לא בי סד. ואני יחר בעיניכם כי מחתם אותי הנה, do not be angry that you did it. I have no claims. And he starts to explain, כי למחיה שלהני אלוהים לפניכם, that all of this, actually, I was not nizuk. You're right when you say shiluchem mitzvah enam nizukin. There was no damage that came out of it. Ultimately, I came down to Mitzrayim, ki lemechaya shelachani, in order to support and supply the family with food during the famine. Vayishlacheni Elohim nifnechem nasum nechem she'erit ba'aretz. In order that I be over here put under a test with Eshet Potiphar, in order that when the Jewish people come down to Mitzrayim, they will not be tempted to go after the immorality because I already created some kedusha in this land. ולחיות לכם לפלטה גדולה, ואתה, לא אתם שלחתם אותי הנה. You didn't send me down there, כי האלוהים, he goes along and starts to explain to them, everything worked out for the best. We know we had to follow our grandfather's galut prophecy, but now we're going to come down on in a red carpet. Instead of daddy having to come down in chains in order to fulfill the ba'badum ve'inu, this was all from God. So therefore Yosef comes along and he tells him, yeah, you're right, Shiluchem Mitzvah and Nezukim. And I was a Shaliach Mitzvah. And guess what? In them Nezukim, I wasn't damaged. Elohim HaShava LeTovah. It's all for the best. The brothers are shocked. Oh, this is not the reaction they expected. So you say to yourself, it was a great speech Yehuda made. I mean, bottom line, it got Yosef to admit. And once he admitted, Benjamin's off the hook. He broke him down. He said, "V'lo yachol Yosef letapek." You have to give Chazak Baruch to Yehuda. Say, Yehuda, you got him. Last week's parasha, he wanted Benjamin to be an Eved. You were going to lose your Olam Abba. Yaakov Abinu would have, who knows what would have happened to him after he would have lost his son, God forbid. And yeah, somehow aroused Yosef enough to get him to be Boden, everything what was happening ever after. So you have to pat you down on the shoulder. But Rabotai, sometimes you make a very good speech and it hits the right chords and it's emotional, but the results are not positive. In retrospect, as you'll see in a moment, Yehuda would have been better off if he wasn't so effective. What I'm going to tell you now comes from the Meshech Chochmah. The Meshech Chochmah over here says something. If I didn't see it inside and brought a copy of it, I wouldn't believe it. He comes along and he says, ולא יכול יוסף להתאפק. What does that mean? He wasn't able to. He couldn't restrain himself. That means he was trying to. But ולא יכול. That means he was under tremendous pressure and he's telling himself, don't break. Don't break. Don't give in. But Yehuda is getting him, the father. And he lost his mother, and he's a yatom, and he's a tzaddik, and I gave my olam haba, and you know, Ben's giving his two children. Don't break, don't break. Velo yachol, says the Meshech Chochmah. Ritzono lomar, ki ratza lehetapek. He wanted to restrain. The original plan of Yosef was not like it ended up in Parashat Vayigash. The story that you're reading was not plan A. This story that you read in Parashat VeYigash of Yosef telling the brothers, Ani Yosef, was plan B. And Yosef never anticipated it to be this way. It was a spontaneous reaction of Elo Yachol. He says that, you know why? Because Yosef knew that his dreams were prophecies. And he knew that these prophecies, for the tikkun to be made properly, the prophecies must come true. in their completion and their entirety. And Yosef had two dreams. In one dream, it says the sheaves were bowing down. That's referring to the brothers. That happened. But there was another dream. In the dream it says that the sun and the moon are going to bow. And the Hakamim say, who is the sun? Yaakov Abinu. And the moon? Well, it wasn't Nahel because she wasn't around, but it was Bilha, who was like Yosef's mother. That for these dreams to come true, and for the tikkun to be made, Yaakov would have to come down to Mitzrayim with Bilha, like they eventually did, and would have to bow to Yosef. And if that would have been done, the tikkun of the brothers Avon would have been fixed. In his Lashon, he writes, Ulavi Yaakov lekayem ha-shemesh v'yareyach ve'lo hayalo lirachem alehem. He shouldn't have had mercy on them. Ka'asher lo shamu b'tchaneno alehem. Wasn't Yosef trying to make tikkun? He put Shimon in a bor. Tikkun for Shimon and threw him into a bor. He came along and convicted them as thieves. Let the thief feel what it is to be convicted as a thief. Let him be embarrassed of this sin. Now the last tikkun, says the Meshech Chokhmah, was, I was begging you, don't do this to me. Yosef was begging the brothers, and the brothers closed the deaf ear. And here's your chance, Yosef, to settle that tikkun. They're begging, don't do this to Binyamin, don't do this to Binyamin. And you should have closed your ears. You know what Yosef should have said? I don't want to hear your stories, go cry somewhere else. Bring your old man down to Egypt. Bring the old man. Yosef should have made the tikkun. You didn't listen. Not bad for revenge, chas v'shalom. Fix it. Kapara. I was begging you not to sell me, and you didn't listen. Not only did you listen, you sold me, and you went, you ate a seudah, you had a meal, seudah mitzvah. It goes around, comes around. Now you're begging that I should have the mercy on Binyamin. He says, "V'lo hayalo lirachem alehem, ka'asher lo shamu b'tchaneno alehem." He says, "But what? Lo yachol, lo yachol." You know why lo yachol? The Ramban says the pressure started to mount. What happened? All the advisors of Yosef, they came to Yosef and said, "What are you doing? What did the guy do? The guy stole a gaviyat. What are you being such a..." Now even his own people, the Ramban's Lashon over here is, and I quote, on the pasuk, "V'anachon be'enai." שהיו שם מבית פרעו ומן המצרים אנשים רבים ייחלו פניו. They were starting to go to Yosef למחול לבנימין, forgive him, כי נחמרו רחמם על תחרוני יהודה. When they heard Yehuda's compassionate speech, they didn't even speak the language for them. They said, "Why, poor guy, let him go." The speech of Yehuda was so effective, it got not only Yosef to become sore, but everybody around him. ולא יכול יוסף להתחזק לכולם. He couldn't. So what does the pasuk say? Ve'lo yachon Yosef letapek v'yikra hotzi kol ish ma'alai. Everybody go out. Why do you tell him to go out? I don't want to hear the pressure. I don't want to hear the pressure. Enough. He didn't want to break. He was at the breaking point and they're telling him, come on, give in, come on. Everybody out. And all of a sudden the pasuk says that Yosef now is about to break and he realizes he's at the point of no return. He cannot control himself. Rabotei, you know what would have happened if he would have controlled himself? The Sfat Emet says the tikkun of Sinat Chinam would have been made. The Beit HaMikdash would never have been destroyed. This is one of the most critical pesukim in the old Torah. Ve'lo yachol Yosef letapek. Says the Sfat Emet. Had he been metapek, it's a different ending. And that's why all of a sudden the pasuk says, "Velo yachol Yosef letapek, v'yiten et kolo bibchi." Starts to cry. I always learned, why is he crying? It's emotional. Listen, emotional moment over here. V'yishme'u Mitzrayim. Whoa, the whole Egypt heard his crying. So this wasn't a stam crying. What type of emotional crying is so loud that the whole... by the way, with all due respect, what's the emotion to cry? Yosef knew that these were the brothers the whole time. They should be crying, not him. What he's going to say, Ani Yosef, he knew they were the brothers. He's seen them 3-4 times already. So what is he crying for? You know why he's crying, says the Ben Ish-Hai? The Ben Ish-Hai is something amazing. Lord Yosef, hi. You remember when Batya Bat Paro sees the little baby in the basket? The pasuk says, "Behine Na'ar Boche." It's Moshe. So it says Na'ar, but it was a tinok, it was a baby. So it was a yelet. So make up your mind, was it a yelet? So the Gemara says, "Koloka Na'ar." His voice was loud like a nar. The Ben Ish-Hai says, why was Moshe Rabbeinu crying so much? He said, Moshe Rabbeinu was already a holy soul from the day he was born. And already the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu felt what's going to be with the future. And already that voice of Moshe crying was the crying of all the Jews in Mitzrayim. They were crying through Moshe Rabbeinu. That wasn't one voice crying. Moshe Rabbeinu's crying was the crying of all Klal Yisrael. And that's the way the Ben Ish-Hai says that Batya, when she heard this cry, she says, I don't hear one voice. Mi yaldei ha'ivrim zeh. This is a crying of yaldei ha'ivrim. She wasn't saying, oh, he's Jewish. No, mi yaldei ha'ivrim. The crying over here is so intense. It's such a strong crying. It's like 600,000 people crying in this one child's voice. Mi yaldei ha'ivrim. Shehem bochim al tzaratam vekolom me'orav bekolot yaldei ha'ivrim. His voice is the representation of yaldei ha'ivrim. Yosef says, now I can't control myself. Ve'lo yachol. And if ve'lo yachol, it means lo yachol. And all of a sudden, what did Yosef see at this point? He saw that the brothers now are going to have a tikkun. Because Yosef didn't finish the tikkun. If he would have finished the tikkun on them and let Yaakov come bow down and Jesus would have come true, now they're going to have to be the asara harugim malchut, like that Arizal said. The brothers are going to have to come back like in a Gilgul as the 10 martyrs, the 10 tzaddikim, and they're going to die a gruesome death by the hands of the Romans. Like Yosef will tell the brothers, Ve'ata al ta'atzivu. Now you don't have to worry. Ve'ata. But later on you're going to have to worry. At that point over there, Yosef starts to cry. What's the crying of Yosef? He's crying the crying of the brothers of the Asarar Ugem Malchut. This was a crying of pain, says the Ben Ish-Hai. וכן העניין כאן, כשבא יוסף הסדיק להתוודע אליך, when he came to reveal himself, ראה ברוח הקודש היסורים הקשים, he saw the terrible יסורים, שעתידים אחד לבכות עליהם בזמן עשרה הרוגי מלכות, שמתגלגלים, חלקם שלהם, the גלגול of the brothers, ולכן היה עתה כל בחייתו, כל גדול, כי בכי של אחד שעתידים למכות, the 10 martyrs were crying to Yosef, שצייר בדעתו קולות הבכי של אחיו, ולכן הרים קולו בבכייתו. He raised his voice in crying כנגד כל הבכיות של אחיו. And that's why the pasuk comes along and says, ויתן את קולו בבכי. Don't say he cried. ויתן את קולו בבכי. The future crying of what Christ is going to have to do. But why did he cry at this one? Because לא יכול. Imagine if he would have quit. To me, it's an amazing yesod over here. The tikkun was almost made. And then what happened? The pasuk comes along and says, Vayomer Yosef el Havani Yosef, Gishuna Elai. Now they come close. And the pasuk comes along and says, "Vayipol al savere Binyamin achiv vayevk." He falls on Binyamin, and he cries. Was he crying? He saw Binyamin already. He got emotional. Also, he got emotional. Well, it doesn't say he cried when he saw the other brothers. On the contrary, when he saw the other brothers, the pasuk says, "Ve'nashek lechol lehav." He kissed his other brothers. "Ve'yefk alehem." Over there it says, "Ve'yefk alehem." He cried. What was the crying over here? Well, the crying for the brothers sounds like it was an emotional cry. He kissed him, and he was crying. That's what you do when you have an emotional cry. You hug your kids, you cry, "I miss you, we forgive you." No. But Binyamin doesn't say he kissed him. There's no neshikah here. Which implies to me that this was not an emotional kiss. And this was not an emotional hug, and this was not an emotional crying. The sheik comes along and says, what is he crying? "Asavere Binyamin achiv. Ashte mikdashot sh'atidim liyot mehalkos shel Binyamin v'sofan liharef." He saw already the future that the two batei mikdash are going to be destroyed. The savar represents the Beit HaMikdash. Why all of a sudden now? He saw Binyamin already before. Why all of a sudden now? Explanation is, once already Yosef is lo yachol le'tapek. Once already he wasn't able to control, and therefore the dreams would not come true in its full version. At this point he saw a vision of the Churban Beit HaMikdash, which was not the original plan. The original plan would have been that the brothers get kapara from Yosef, the sinat chinam would be fixed, and as a result we have a Beit HaMikdash, and we have an ultimate tikkun. Once Yosef was not able to control, to bring his father down to Ba'dai, no yachol. Then all of a sudden these visions started to come in front. Asara harugim malchut, on one screen. He starts to cry, all the cryings of the 10 brothers, he starts to cry through his voice. The whole Egypt heard that crying. That was a crying of pain. And then all of a sudden he sees Binyamin, more crying of pain. And we read these parashiyot rabotai at the perfect time. Tonight already is Leil Asara B'Tevet. Asara B'Tevet is already the beginning of the end. Asara B'Tevet is one of the most important taniyot. The Budarham writes that had Asara B'Tevet fall out on Shabbat, we fast on Shabbat. Which is amazing hadush. Da'atam Sofer es, fast on Shabbat, Kippur we fast on Shabbat, Asara B'Tevet, Shabbat, we push it to Sunday if it falls out on Shabbat. Shiva'asa B'Tamuz, which is Ta'anit Hamura, we push it to Sunday. Asara B'Tevet, you fast on Shabbat? How can it be? Da'atam Sofer says something amazing. He says, what happened on Asara B'Tevet? He says, they came and they surrounded the walls of Yerushalayim. Eventually, a few months after that, they would destroy the Beit HaMikdash. But he says, on that day, Asara B'Tevet, there was a judgment. The angels on the right side came along and said, don't let the Babylonians be successful. The angels on the left side said, let them be successful. And there was a diyun, there was a judgment. Are they going to succeed or not? And it was on Asara B'Tevet that the judgment was, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. That's when it was decided. Says the Hatam Sofer, and every Asara B'Tevet, that judgment happens again. Will the Beit HaMikdash be rebuilt this year or not? Therefore he says, Tisha B'Av is a fast of the past. On a fast that's commemorative, you push to Sunday. But the halacha says that if somebody has a bad dream on a Friday night, Ta'anit Halom, you fast on Shabbat because you want to break the bad dream. When it's a current crisis, you fast on Shabbat. He says, Asara B'Tevet is a current crisis because they're judging us tonight and tomorrow. Will the Beit HaMikdash be rebuilt this year or not? That's the diyun on Asara B'Tevet. That's a gezerah of the present. Gezerah of the present, you can even fast on Shabbat. And that's the avon that's still haunting us today. Davon that the brothers sold Yosef, like we say in Yom Kippur. Ki ata solhan li Yisrael, umuhalan li shiftei Yeshurun. That means there's two avirot over here. Solhan li Yisrael, you forgive Israel for the sins of Ben Adam, lamakom. Umuhalan li shiftei Yeshurun, but you forgive us for the sins of the Shebatim, which is the Sinat Hinam. That's the tikkun that we need, umuhalan li shiftei Yeshurun. And all the results is because Belo Yachol Yosef Leitapek. And as a result, the days that we're in now, Shulchan Aruch says that the month of Tevet, there's 3 days in the month of Tevet that the Tzadikim used to fast, besides Asara B'Tevet. They used to fast on the 8th of Tevet, the 9th of Tevet, and of course the 10th. Shulchan Aruch brings it down. Why? The 8th of Tevet is the day that the Greeks interpreted the Torah into foreign language, the Septuagint, which was a great tragedy. The Gemara says on the day that they did that, there was a solar eclipse for 3 days, Hoshech, to bring the Torah to the Hitzonim. The next day is the 9th of Tibet, which was today. Shulchan Aruch says, Al Ha'ason Shelo Noda, a tragedy that we don't know. Mishnah Berurah says, what was the tragedy? Ezra Sofer passed away, and Nehemiah ben Hakaliah. But the holy books bring down, why did Shulchan Aruch say, Ala Asun Shelo Noda? Because they say that that's the day Yeshu passed away. Or Yeshu was born, I should say. That's the day Yeshu was born, on the night of Tibet. The Tzaddikim was fast on that day, because they saw the trouble. But Shulchan Aruch doesn't want to say it beferus. He says, Asun Shelo Noda. And all this Rabotai, all this is as a result of what? Of what happened with the tikkun that was unfixed, was not made. And therefore from this, already we start the galut. The next parashut that we start to read is they go into Mitzrayim. And from Mitzrayim it says that the Elish Shemobin is Ba'im Mitzrayim, and from Mitzrayim is Ba'im. Ba'im is Rashid Tevot, Babel, Edom, Yavan, Madai. All the galut would be as a result. It all started from what? From the Sinat Ahim. And therefore when we read these parashiyot Rabotai, especially the day of Asara B'Tevet, the day of Tikkun, U'muhalal Shiftei Yisurun. Obviously Borei Olam wanted these things to happen. God wanted plan B to be the plan, in order that we should ultimately have to go through this purging to make the Tikkun of the Ahim. But they couldn't come at a more serious time in our history as well, where Christ is going to a very, 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 very serious time with the magifot and the deaths and the sicknesses. Who knows, maybe this is the last push before the ultimate redemption. Vayigash elav Yehuda, the Zohar HaKadosh, and I conclude, says in this parasha, Vayigash elav Yehuda, Yehuda meets Yosef. Ki hinei ha-melachim no'adu, the kings will come together. Yehuda represents Mashiach ben David, and Yosef represents Mashiach ben Yosef. Vayigash elav Yehuda. When they came together, they were already coming together, the two melachim. Yosef is the Yesod, and Yehuda is the Malchut. When the Yesod and the Malchut come together, that's all the berachot. The pipes are connected correctly, then you have already a Geulah. So the Torah is already giving us a good premonition in this parasha. If we make the ultimate tikkun of Ahavat Yisrael, we come along and we get rid of all the kin'ah, the sin'ah, the taharut, we put all these things to the side. We can't change the world, Rabotai. We can only change ourselves. Asara B'Tevet is a day to let bygones be bygones. If we have something outstanding, we have to say Kriyat Shema, Hareni Mochel, Mesoleyach, Lechol Mi, Shechis, Vechnitoti, O Sha'ata Kenedi, Bim Begufi, Bim Mamoni, Bim Bekodesh, Velo Ya'anesh Sumadam, we're not able to get punished on our account. Hareni Mochel, Mesoleyach. And then Be'ezat Hashem, on this Asara B'Tevet, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, that meeting of Yehuda, Mashiach Ben David, the Mashiach Ben will come together again. And then ultimately, Ki ata solhan li Yisrael u'muhalan li shiftei Yisurun, will have a mechila for the chet of the Shevatim. And then, just like Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef, we're waiting for the time that Hashem will come down and say, Ani Hashem, I am God. And at that point, it will be zocheh to Geulah Shelema b'mera b'yameinu. Amen. Ken yirtzeh. Shemich al-anyam b'rkashom em. Asak b'rkoshe kod Yisrael. Yafikha, kirbana.